So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
We reached out to Yarrow Axford. She is an associate professor of Earth and Planetary Science at Northwestern University. First question, Yarrow, thanks for coming on with us. How are you today?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. So, thanks for your interest in Antarctica.
Well, my interest is more in gin and tonics. Do you drink gin and tonics?
Absolutely.
Excellent news. Okay, let's move on.
And the ice does float.
And let's move on to Antarctica then. Give me your sort of perspective on this. It's shocking. It's dramatic. I think the headlines are almost doing us a disservice because they're so upsetting. Talk a little bit about what a big deal this is or is not.
Well, so first of all, the question that a lot of people have is whether this particular event is caused by climate change or evidence of climate change.
Right.
And one thing we know is that we do expect that ice shelves that are subjected to enough warming will break up, retreat, collapse. And so when we see really unusual cracking, that can be consistent with warming. We think we saw that happen in 2002 when the Larsen B ice shelf, which is just north of Larsen C, the one we're talking about today, did collapse completely and very quickly, catastrophically. But whether this crack and this iceberg today in the Larsen C is a sign that this particular ice shelf is succumbing to climate change is really not known yet. And I think we'll see debate about that amongst glaciologists in the coming months.
Okay, but
ultimately,
it's
what might just sorry, go on.
No, finish your thought.
Ultimately, what might decide the debate about a link to climate change is whether we see going forward that this event is the beginning of more widespread changes in this ice shelf. Maybe over the next few years, we'll see this thing start to break up in a larger way and eventually collapse, or maybe we'll see the ice sheet heal itself. And learn that this may be part of a natural rhythm for this particular
shelf. What happens to this mass of water, frozen, but this iceberg then cleaves off the shelf? Does it ultimately melt or does it stick around? What happens to that?
I think we expect to see it probably break up into smaller chunks as it melts and experiences different stresses from moving around in the ice in the ocean. And it'll melt, eventually just break up, melt away.
Well, will that cause a rise in sea levels? I mean, we're all describing this as this ginormous piece of ice. Will this have any effect on us in the United States or elsewhere?
A teeny bit, probably. But one thing that can help with understanding how various changes in ice that happen around the world affect sea level and might affect us is to recognize that there are really three different types of ice at the poles, including around Antarctica. One is sea ice, which is just a thin frozen skin on the ocean and just a few feet thick. It's a lot like what grows on Lake Michigan during a typical winter, maybe not our most recent winter, but a typical winter, we see a skin of ice on the lake. The ocean in cold parts of the world gets that as well. And that it's melting when warm season comes along, doesn't contribute to sea level rise because that water was already part of the ocean before it froze. In contrast, we've got land ice, and most of the Antarctic ice sheet falls into that category. So on the continent of Antarctica, we've got a huge mass of ice that's, to wrap your mind around its size, think about Mexico and the U.S. smothered in ice that's 2 miles thick, and that gives you a sense for the size of the land ice in Antarctica.
Wow.
And that's the mass of ice that people are talking about when you hear the number 200 feet of global sea level rise. If all of that ice made its way into the world's oceans, it would raise sea level everywhere around the globe on the order of about 200 feet.
I've never but Antarctica is as big as Mexico and the United States combined?
It's huge.
Hold on a second. Steve, I don't know what your lead story is, but I think that should be in consideration. I did not know that.
I've heard it's a very, very long and cold flight to get to research sites when you've got to cover a lot of that continent.
Yeah, right. You're just going over ice, 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 baby. Okay, stay right there. I want you to finish that thought in just a minute. It's 1:50. Yarrow Axford is a climate scientist, an earth and climate scientist, planetary scientist at Northwestern University. So I don't know if this is giving you pause and some comfort or if it's terrifying you. The more she talks, the better I feel about this. John Williams here. On a phone line is Yarrow Axford. She is an associate professor of earth and planetary sciences at Northwestern University. We're talking about that giant Antarctic iceberg that has broken off from the Larsen C ice shelf, so as not to be confused with the Larsen B ice shelf. It's twice the size of Luxembourg. It's as big as Delaware. But if I have you correct, Yarrow, you say, but you know, don't be too alarmed by that. It's not going to significantly raise the level of water here. The real alarming thing for us to think about is what's happening to the land ice on Antarctica itself. Antarctica is a continent. Is that right, Yarrow?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure I understand.
Antarctica is a continent, and we've talked briefly about sea ice, which is the frozen skin of the ocean. We've talked about land ice, which is a 2-mile-thick blob of ice sitting on the continent. Yeah. And there's a third kind of ice, which is the one we're actually talking about today, ice shelves, which is what you get when that land ice spills over the edges of the continent into the sea. So when we're talking about ice shelves, we're talking about thick sheets of floating glacier ice that can be hundreds to thousands of feet
but
thick.
Doesn't the
chunk of that is what we lost today.
But isn't that the natural process of, I went to Alaska and they said, well, the ice is always pushing forward and cleaving off, and that's what happens with glaciers. Is this maybe like, will Antarctica make more? It's okay, it was a big piece, but this is just what happens there?
That absolutely could be the case. Yep, and I think we'll need to watch it going forward and see if that's what happens or if instead this loss of an iceberg is a precursor to something more like what we saw in 2002 when the Larsen B ice shelf collapsed completely. And the reason that we care whether that happens, well, one reason we care is because these ice shelves, when you remove them, it's a little bit like taking the cork out of a wine bottle, and you free up the massive glacier that's feeding them to flow more freely and more quickly straight into the sea. And we saw that happen with Larsen B when that ice shelf went away. The glacier that had been feeding it started flowing faster into the sea, contributing to more rapid sea level rise.
Yeah, right.
And so that's the link potentially between ice shelves like Larsen C and sea level rise. If we lose the ice shelves, we create a more direct connection between the land ice and the ocean and allow land ice to flow more rapidly.
It's interesting to know. All right. I appreciate the wine cork analogy. That'd be two alcohol-related references during the course of this interview. Let's close with a discussion about gin. So what's your first choice? Do you go Beefeater, Bombay, Tanqueray? What's your choice?
Kind of a Bombay Sapphire kind
right,
of gal.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I got a bottle of that in the freezer. But I'll tell you what, the Beefeater is, for the price, I think almost every bit is good. You know what I'm saying?
It's all about the ice, really.
I think you found your perfect guest.
I'm a bit of a science dweeb, and yet here's a person who speaks knowledgeably and lovingly about my cocktail of choice. So, Yarrow, you and I have to visit again sometime. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Pleasure to talk with you.
Me and my Yarrow, as I like to call her. Steve's got the news. That's next here on WGN.